Three former students from Oconto Falls High School are accusing the school district of overlooking sexual abuse by staff members for more than a decade. It's Thursday, March 12th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a case before the Supreme Court pits Democratic Attorney General Josh Call against the Republican-controlled state legislature.
There are now monies sitting there that are left to the Attorney General's discretion that the Attorney General cannot spend.
And some legislators want to allow the sale of a state-owned wildlife area. They say that's to help prevent the spread of bird flu. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Elkins, and I'm hosting a Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin-sponsored tour with Holiday Vacations. This fall, 2026, we'll cruise the musical Danube River, starting in Budapest and then sailing aboard an Amadeus ship to Vienna and Salzburg, and ending in Prague. Join us for this incredible journey. Our adventure begins at wpr.org/travel.
A federal complaint filed yesterday alleges Oconto Falls school district officials overlooked sexual abuse for 20 years. Corrine Hess has more.
The complaint alleges more than a dozen minor students were groomed and sexually abused by staff members at Oconto Falls High School. Between 2005 and 2025, Amanda Watzka was one of three former students who filed the complaint. She graduated in 2013 from the school district and spoke at an event announcing the Title IX lawsuit.
My personal abuser has not been held accountable at all at this point, and we're over a year from me coming forward, so it's been an ongoing cause of just hurt and pain.
Attorneys say at least 14 other alleged victims are willing to come forward. School officials say they investigated claims and two people have been charged. They say if investigations into other claims are substantiated, they'll act promptly. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A bill aimed at helping the University of Wisconsin-Madison pay student athletes may have hit a snag in the state legislature. The bill would give UW-Madison $14 million for athletic facilities, freeing up funds for name, image, and likeness deals, known as NIL. It already passed the state assembly almost unanimously, and it passed the Joint Finance Committee yesterday. That sets it up for a possible vote in the state Senate. But three Senate Republicans voted against it in committee, which could sink the bill in the Senate unless Republican leaders get help from Democratic lawmakers. The state Senate is expected to hold its final regular session day of the year next week. A group of taxpayers is suing the state legislature over the hiring of private lawyers using public funds. The lawsuit was filed by the progressive firm Law Forward and names both Republican and Democratic legislators as plaintiffs. The complaint states that when the legislature hires private lawyers, it's using taxpayer money illegally. It argues the State Department of Justice exists to provide government with legal resources. The complaint says that the legislature has spent more than $26 million on private lawyers since 2019. That includes around $1.5 million on former State Supreme Court Justice Michael Gabelman's failed investigation into the 2020 election. The lawsuit argues that that case and others are a misuse of public funds for partisan ends. Wisconsin Supreme Court justices sounded skeptical yesterday about arguments on both sides of a long-running dispute involving the State Department of Justice. As Rich Kramer reports, this case involves whether the state attorney general or state lawmakers get to decide how money from multi-state settlements is spent.
Democratic Attorney General Josh Call argues a GOP law signed in 2018 just before he took office unconstitutionally restricted his ability to use certain settlement funds. A lawyer for the legislature argues that before the law passed, attorneys general avoided legislative oversight. Arguing for Call, Assistant Attorney General Hannah Juris told justices the legislature's argument has changed with time, and lawmakers now claim Call can't use settlement funds to pay the state's attorney's fees.
There are now monies sitting there that are left to the Attorney General's discretion that the Attorney General cannot spend.
Conservative and liberal justices indicated Call seems to be arguing any settlement fund would be outside the legislature's control. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Republican bill would allow the sale of public lands near a commercial egg farm to prevent the spread of bird flu. As Danielle Kading reports, the proposal comes as one of the nation's largest egg producers in Wisconsin has been hit hard by outbreaks.
Daybreak Foods in Jefferson County has been forced to cull more than 4 million birds at its Cold Spring egg farm, which it bought last year. Prior to that, the Department of Natural Resources purchased around 1,800 acres to add to Prince's Point Wildlife Area to expand waterfowl habitat. In a hearing broadcast on Wisconsin Eye, Daybreak Foods president and CEO Bill Ream blamed wild birds for recent outbreaks. He said the bill would provide a path to buy the property.
If we own the property, Wildlife Services would have our permission to go in and create a disincentive for waterfowl to be close to us.
Critics argue the proposal jeopardizes public land protection to serve private interests. GOP lawmakers say it ensures affordability and security of the state's food supply chain. The DNR opposes the bill and has no intention of selling the land. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
People selling homemade pickles and similar canned goods in Wisconsin are calling for an update to a state law that exempts them from food licensing. The original pickle bill was signed into law in 2010. It caps yearly sales of home canned products at $5,000 per person. Jenna Phillips is the director of Platteville Farmers Market and sells her own canned goods. She says it's nearly impossible to turn a profit under the current limit.
Even in rural areas, the cost of living has gone quite high. So, I mean, you start figuring in your cost of glass, your cost of, you know, fruits and vegetables.
Phillips says the regulations are also vague and left up to interpretation by state and local officials who are meant to enforce them. She says she'd like to see Wisconsin follow neighboring states like Iowa and Minnesota by adopting a law supporting homemade food sales. Coming up, we'll hear from Matt Toombs of Weston, Wisconsin. He's competing this week in the wheelchair curling event at the Paralympic Winter Games. Stay with us.
Hello, it's Michelle Martin. At Morning Edition, we bring you the news of the day, but also conversations about art.
And the piano was where I left all of my words and all of my stories and all of my pain.
Scientific findings.
In total, I think we looked at over 500 specimens. That's a lot of poop.
And stories that make you smile. Start your weekdays informed and inspired with Morning Edition from NPR News.
And finally, Wisconsin has had a strong showing at the Winter Olympics in Italy. That includes the Paralympic Games, which are currently underway. That's where Matt Toombs of Weston is competing in wheelchair curling. A product of the Wausau Curling Club, he joined Team USA for the 2022 Beijing Games. While the Americans placed fourth in this year's mixed doubles event, Toombs and his mixed team squad faced Norway this morning in a critical match towards winning a medal. Toombs spoke with Wisconsin Today host Rob Ferret ahead of his trip to Milan Cortina.
You started curling, I understand, about 14 years ago. Can you tell us about how you first discovered the sport and tried it out?
Well, we came across Wausau Curling Club. It was advertising for a Learn to Curl in the fall of 2012. And my wife at the time and I decided we could use a little more to do in the wintertime. So we went down and checked it out. So when I got there, a couple of people didn't know anything about curling out of a wheelchair, and I definitely didn't. So we just did some experimentation on how to throw a rock, and I was hooked. We actually signed up for a league that very day to play the next Monday. That was a Saturday to a Monday, and we were playing already the next week.
What was it about curling that grabbed you right away like that?
I don't know. It was just intriguing. The club was so welcoming. The members there were so welcoming, and it's like we met people that could be, you know, potential friends just by joining the thing. And I actually went home and watched some YouTube videos on wheelchair curling and got a little more insight on how to deliver a stone. So that helped. But it was also just how welcoming a club is. It was a brand new club. They just had built it. The paint was still wet when we went there. and it's just a beautiful place to play. So that's partially what got me started on the initial visit.
Well, I understand the Wausau Club got famous pretty quick for being a welcoming community for curling. Since that time, since you first started, do you feel like there's a para curling community there, a wheelchair curling community that's more than you?
At the time, it was just me there, and out for a couple of years, I did recruit a few other wheelchair curlers. There's a group in Wausau, like an adaptive sports group, that I joined, and we all came down. I talked a few of them into coming down and trying it out, and then we actually had enough for a team. I found three other wheelchair curlers, and I actually had a team for a few years during leagues.
Now, for people who have seen maybe that Olympics curling, but they haven't seen the Paralympic curling yet, what are some of the big differences in how the sport works?
In Olympic curling, they use sweepers to help guide the rock and carry it farther. In wheelchair curling, there's no sweeping. It's just however much weight in the line you put on the rock, and once you let it go, it's all on its own. So that's the major difference, really, is just there's no sweeping in wheelchair curling.
And that sounds to me like it's going to be more challenging, right? Because when that stone starts moving, nobody has any control over it. How much pressure does that put on that initial throw?
You have to be pretty precise. It's a lot of muscle memory into it and a lot of ice reading to just determine how much weight you want to put on the rock when you throw. So it can be, it's a lot of pressure because you have nobody to save you. Sweeping helps make the shot better. So it's quite a bit of pressure, actually.
Now, you're the skip for Team USA's wheelchair curling team, a team captain, basically. What role does that skip play for the team?
The skip generally throws the last two stones in the end, and it usually helps set up, call the right strategy shot, and typically hold the broom for the broom on the other end is for the throwing player to aim at and call the strategy so we get the rocks in the right spot and the score points in the end, generally.
Matt Timms is a Wisconsin resident and the skip for Team USA's wheelchair curling squad at the 2026 Winter Games. To hear the rest of his conversation with WPR host Rob Ferret, go to WPR.org/Wisconsin today. And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. Some sunshine early today, but clouds building as the day goes on, with highs in the 30s and 40s. Could see some snow start to develop in western Wisconsin later on. Overnight, lots of snow expected in northern Wisconsin. A winter storm warning in effect for the very northern counties in the state. A winter storm watch in effect for the rest of northern Wisconsin tonight. Anywhere from 3 to 7 inches of snow expected to fall, with lows overnight down into the 20s and 30s. And tomorrow, wind gusts near 40 miles per hour at times, whipping that snow around. And that'll do it for this Thursday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.